I hate this gospel. The problem, though, is with me. Love one another as I have loved you. I give you a new commandment, love. It's all true. But if I were starting a religion, I wouldn't make love, the commandment of love, the bedrock. For two reasons, because love is so easily watered down. Even the term is so overused that love can be molded into whatever someone wants it to be. That love can be reduced down to just being nice, when at the heart of it is the cross. At the heart of it is sacrificing oneself for the other. When at the same time, in sacrificing oneself for one another, it still requires being kind. So a husband, for example, knows he's called to lay down his life for his wife and to sacrifice for her. He's also called to be kind to her. And so it's holding all those things together. You see where the problem is there. That's difficult, not just to talk about, but to do. And so there's that problem. Love can be molded and shaped into whatever a person wants it to be. The other problem is that I'm human and fallen, like every one of you. And it's easy for me to love people I like, but not my enemies. My desire, my fallen desire, is to destroy my enemies. And yours is as well. Don't fool yourself. It's easy to love those you like, but people who are truly your enemies, the desire is to want to destroy them. Jesus, though, he wasn't just founding a religion, one among many. He was revealing reality itself. The truth of who God is, who we are. He was revealing truth itself. And truth is what gives love its form, its shape, its meaning. Love requires truth. And it's through divine truth, Jesus himself, both in his kindness and in his blood, that he makes all things new. One of my earliest childhood memories, do you guys know, think of your own earliest childhood memories. There's like this small handful that I have. But one of them is maybe when I was 4, 5 years old, standing out in the freezing January cold on the steps of the state capitol. And it was at the Right to Life rally, which is held in January because that was the anniversary of the Roe versus Wade decision. And we were there praying for an end to abortion. This tragedy that destroys both the life of a mother and the life of a child. That destroys families. It destroys nations. And we're praying for an end to this bad law. Fast forward maybe like 15 years. In college at that point, and we would go in, people from the university, every Saturday morning into Pittsburgh, into downtown Pittsburgh, and we would just stand across the street from the abortion clinic and just pray there for the women who were going inside. And we would pray for the doctors, for the nurses within the clinic as well, for their conversion. For the conversion of our nation. Our only weapon was peaceful prayer, but our confidence was in the power of God. So when I was a small child, that would have been just 15 years after the Roe v. Wade decision. College, it would have been just 30 years after that decision. Now it's been nearly 50 years since Roe versus Wade, and over 63 million abortions later. And as all of you have seen in the news, there's now the real possibility of that bad law being overturned. It won't end abortion. Just simply return the question to the individual states. And if that happens, it's then that the real work of doing what John Paul II spoke of all the time. All the time he spoke of the real work of building a culture of life. It would be then that that work would truly begin in earnest. As your pastor, I want to give to you just two points of encouragement. A point of truth and a point of love. In order to understand what it is that the Catholic Church teaches, because I think very few Catholics actually understand what it is that the Church teaches and why it primarily opposes abortion. And then also in living that. The first point of encouragement is that of truth. Our access, your access to truth, is through our mind and our reason that every human being has. And the Church condemns abortion not primarily on the grounds of faith, but first on the grounds of human reason. What that means is that abortion is not primarily a religious issue. Because you'll hear it all the time, so-called Catholic politicians saying, well, I can't enforce my religious beliefs upon others. I'm personally opposed, but I wouldn't enforce my beliefs upon another person. That's literal nonsense. It's willful and malicious stupidity. Because abortion is not primarily a religious issue. That the bedrock of why the Church absolutely condemns abortion is on the grounds of reasoned truth. Is this a human life? Yes or no? That's not a religious question. That's a question of science and reason. Is this a human life? And one of the beautiful things in the last half century, with the advances of science, it becomes more and more impossible for people to deny it. But that's the primary question. And if it's a human, then it has human rights, the first of which is life, the right to life, without which there are no other rights. Without that first right, none of the others matter. This truth, which is the primary grounds, and that's so important, because otherwise they're just like, oh, you're just a Catholic, you oppose it because you're a Catholic. No, you oppose it because you're a human person and you know truth as they have access to as well. That's a really, really important point. But this truth then demands love. It demands love, which is the second point of encouragement. It's what living that truth looks like. Our access to love is through the human heart, the will, and through faith. And our Christian faith deepens our conviction to love and to defend the weakest and the most vulnerable of human life, among which the unborn is surely one of the most weakest and vulnerable of lives. It deepens it because of the dignity of the human person created in the image of God. And so opposing abortion, both in our lives and in law, is a non-negotiable for Catholics. It's a non-negotiable. Because spilling the blood of innocent human life is one of the handful of sins that God speaks about, which cries out for his justice. One of the things that's come out of this leaked Supreme Court decision and in the pro-abortion demonstrations and rallies is that the mask that evil wears, evil prefers to go about wearing a mask so it's not recognized as easily. One of the things, good things that's come from this is that the mask that evil usually parades around in has become pulled down a bit. Where it's become, have you noticed it? More and more clear that there are those who recognize that truth, that yeah, that's a human person, that's a human being, and say, I don't care. Whether 3 weeks in the womb, 3 months old in the womb, or 3 minutes from birth, I don't care. The answer is abortion on demand. Truth alone is not enough. It demands love. And so what largely has been their response in the rallies, in the media? Outrage, intimidation, illogical hatred, and a desire to destroy both the things of God and anyone who opposes them. What must our response be, though? In the next month or couple months, whether Roe versus Wade is overturned or whether it's not, what must our response be? It's not to destroy. It's a response that Jesus tells us in this annoying gospel. This is why it's so annoying. Because when you see all that, what's your response? What do you want to do? I want to destroy. I want to defeat them. As if them is the enemy instead of evil being the enemy. And that they're imprisoned to evil and I want to free them. But my desire when I see all that, I don't think it's a whole lot different from yours, is I want to destroy. That's their desire and ours can't be the same. So what does Jesus say our response has to be? It has to be one of radical Christian love. Do you see why I hate this gospel? It sounds so nice, but then you get into what it actually means. It's radical Christian love, grounded in truth, in prayer, in trust of God, that he's the one who has the power. Love for those who are filled with hatred, who are imprisoned in the lies of our culture of death. Love for expectant mothers and fathers who have been chewed up and spit out, who feel alone and filled with fear. Love for those same mothers and fathers who are raising kids in hard situations. Love for the unborn and for the lives of all the weak and vulnerable. Because it's in this way, and only this way, that they will know that we are his disciples. It's in this way that God, in his mysterious will, has desired to create a new heavens and a new earth through his people, through his love, his redeeming love working through us, that he makes all things new. That this is the only way that we'll build a true culture of life, if we love one another as he has loved us.